Let me ask you something. What if you were waiting for something? Not in the obvious sense, and not a line or a clock or a door that you keep glancing toward. Something quieter than that. Something that became part of how you live without ever being named. A kind of orientation toward a future moment when things would finally settle into a shape that made sense. That kind of waiting can feel a great deal like hope, and for a long time, it is hard to tell the difference. This is Echoes from the Peak. There is a version of waiting that does not look like waiting from the outside. The people living inside it are often the busiest people you know. They build careers, raise families, manage obligations, show up for everything that needs them. And from a distance, it looks like full participation in a life. But underneath that activity, some part of them is still pointed at a point further down the road, not always a specific date, more a private sense that things will become more real once something happens first. Once the business stabilizes. Once the kids are a little older, or once the stress eases. Once the right thing comes through. It is strange how much of a life can be organized around that one small word, the word that promises nothing, has to be fully entered yet because the real version of it is still coming. Now, at first, this arrangement is genuinely useful. It gives shape to the things that would otherwise feel unbearable. If there's a point ahead where the weight lifts, then carrying it now feels more like a phase than a sentence. And sometimes that is exactly right. Some things really do need time. Some seasons have to be lived through rather than skipped. And a future that has not arrived yet can be a legitimate place to put hope, while the present does slow its work. But there is a version of this that changes shape without anyone noticing the change. The future stops being a bridge to somewhere and quietly becomes a place you live. You are still moving, still handling what's in front of you, still functioning in every way that you could observe. But a part of your attention has taken up permanent residence somewhere that has not happened yet. And the part of you that is actually here in this room on this ordinary evening is only partly available. That is the part that is hard to see from inside it, because none of it looks like stopping. It looks like being careful. It looks like waiting for better timing, more clarity, a little more certainty before committing to something fully. Not a permanent no, just not yet. And not yet is one of the more useful phrases a person can carry, right up until it becomes one of the more costly ones. Because the same caution that keeps you from a foolish decision can also be the thing quietly keeping you from being fully present for the decision you already made. What tends to surface first is not the big realization. It is smaller than that. A sense of being mentally elsewhere more often than you would have guessed. Conversations that get rushed through because something else is waiting to be handled. A moment of something good happening, and instead of it being inside it, a small private note that there will be more room to enjoy this kind of thing later once things are different. Now, later does a tremendous amount of work for people. It absorbs the things that do not fit now. And the strange thing about the latter is that it has no particular obligation to arrive the way it was imagined. There are people who spent years waiting for things to settle, only to find that life does not really settle so much as it changes which thing is unsettled. The job arrives, and there is the next level to wait for. The next level arrives, and there is stability to wait for. Stability arrives, and somehow the thing being waited for is no longer stability, but the feeling that was supposed to come with it which has its own way of staying just out of reach in almost exactly the same proportion as everything before it. It is one of the most disorienting things about people, how much more comfortable some of us become with anticipating a life than being inside the one we already have. There is a particular kind of sadness that shows up later when someone realizes that some of what they were waiting for had already happened, and they were somewhere else when it did. A child wanted to talk during a year that felt too full for it. A friendship was available during a stretch when there seemed to be no room. An ordinary afternoon had everything in that person might call enough, except the person living in it was already negotiating with tomorrow, already half a step into a future that had not asked to be prioritized over what was actually there. Now, none of that happens because someone does not care. It happens because somewhere along the way, the belief took hold that the real version of things was still ahead. And that belief is more expensive than it looks. It can turn ordinary life into something closer to a waiting room, a place to get through rather than a place to be. And if that goes on long enough, a person can look back and realize they were not unhappy. Not absent in any way anyone would have noticed, just always a little deferred. A little behind their own life, moving in its own direction, but not quite arrived. This shows up in leadership, in a way people rarely describe out loud. Someone can spend years waiting for an organization to become what it was supposed to become, the right team, the revenue that finally makes sense, the structure that holds, the moment when all effort turns into something stable enough to actually feel. And because there's always one more problem that has to be solved first, the waiting feels reasonable. It feels like diligence. But there is a version of this where the building itself becomes the way a person avoids arriving, where the future version of the thing that they are building becomes so vivid that the present version, the one that already exists and is already theirs, never quite gets received. Something similar happens inside relationships, though it tends to be quieter still. A person waits for someone to change, waits for a conversation that has been overdue for years, waits for the other person to finally see something that has felt obvious for a long time. And while that waiting continues, a person can find themselves organizing their emotional life around a version of the relationship that does not exist yet. Not the one they're actually in, but the one that might exist if something finally shifted. That kind of waiting can keep someone loyal to a possibility long after the present has already told them something true. There's also waiting that happens entirely inside of a person, with no one else involved at all. Waiting to feel confident enough. Waiting to feel ready. Waiting to feel some internal weather change before allowing themselves to begin something that matters to them. And the difficult thing about that kind of waiting is that readiness rarely arrives in the way it is imagined. More often, people begin before they feel ready, or they do not begin at all. And then confidence tends to show up after the moment has already started rather than before it. In the same way, clarity tends to follow a decision rather than to precede it. And still, the waiting continues, because there's something in it that feels safer than choosing. As long as something remains ahead of you, it gets to stay whole. It cannot disappoint you yet. The conversation that has not happened cannot go badly. The life that has not been entered cannot reveal its complications. There's a kind of protection in that. Even if it is a protection that costs something every day, it continues. So that may be part of why some people defend their waiting without quite realizing that that is what they're doing. They call it timing. They call it being sensible. And sometimes it really is those things. But sometimes underneath, the sensible explanation is that there's something closer to fear. The fear of discovering that the thing being waited for would not have changed as much as hoped. A fear that the future has its own ordinary rooms inside it too. And that arriving there might mean finding the same interior, whether still present, still waiting for something else to finish the job. There is a particular moment that happens to people who have been waiting longer than they meant to. And it rarely arrives in the way a realization is supposed to arrive. It can happen while cleaning out a drawer and finding an old note. While hearing a song from a year that felt like, at the time, like a placeholder for a better one. During an ordinary week, for no clear reason, the weight of every time a person told themselves that life would really begin after the next thing suddenly becomes visible all at once. And what becomes visible is closer to recognition than regret. The sense of the future being waited for did not simply fail to arrive. It kept becoming the present over and over and passed through without being noticed, because the attention that should have met it was already looking past it towards something else. There is no single moment to point to when that happens. No clear wrong turn, no villain in the story. Just an accumulation of small postponements, each one reasonable on its own. Each one a moment where life asked for someone to be present and received management instead. None of this means that the waiting was wrong. That distinction matters. Some waiting protects something real. Some things genuinely cannot be rushed, and some delays are not an avoidance at all, but simply doing the kind of work that only time can do. The question is not whether someone has waited. Everyone has, in one form or another. The question is whether the waiting is still serving the life in front of them, or whether somewhere along the way it became quietly the life itself. There are people right now waiting for permission from circumstances that may never give it, waiting for a kind of certainty the world was never built to offer, waiting to become someone who does not feel afraid before they do the thing the fear has been standing beside for years. Now, some of them are closer than they think, and not because the future has finally become ready, but because the present has been ready in smaller ways that they let themselves notice. Whatever it is they have been waiting for may not arrive as an opening. It may arrive as an ordinary morning where someone stops treating their own life as a draft of something better still to come. A conversation that stops being delayed. A decision that stops being circled. A moment entered without checking first whether a better version of it might still be on its way. Not everything changes when that happens, but something does. That is today's echo. It fades here, but it is yours now. If you've been waiting for something, would you know whether it is still hope? Or whether somewhere along the way it became the place you live. And if some part of what you were waiting for had already passed through your life once, quietly, while you were looking somewhere else, would you recognize it if it came again? I'm Frank Mills, and this has been Echoes from the Peak.